Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel of Holland.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice.
We have a story to tell to the nations that shall turn their hearts to the right. A story of truth and mercy, a story of peace and light. For the darkness shall turn to dawning, and the dawning to noonday bright, and Christ's great kingdom shall come to earth, the kingdom of love and light. Reading from Romans chapter 7, verses 1 through 10. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then if, while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law. so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit, and not in the oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law had said, Thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, for without the law sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. Let's give thanks for these words, the blessings described there, also the way in which we come into them. Let's pray that God will teach us, and again revive the church in teaching and in the experience of it, being married to Christ. Our Father, we come to Thee through Christ, He who alone is the way, the truth, and the life. Help us, Father, to see that rightly. Help us to believe it, that we might know Him as He is, prophet, priest, and king, prophet to teach us, a priest to intercede for us, but also a priest that himself has been the sacrifice, Thy Lamb, which taketh away the sin of the world, and also a king to rule over us. And we pray that we might know Him in all of these ways, the ways that give glory to Thy name, the ways that are a blessing for the church, and then, through the church, a blessing in the world, making it, once again, a salt and a light. We fear, Father, today that we have become a salt that have lost its savor, and we are, sadly, being trodden underfoot of men, and not the fault of those who trod us over, but our own, that we do not make Thy way known as we should. We do not know it as Thou didst command Isaiah, lift up Thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their sins and Israel their transgressions. Help us to do it, Father, today, so people will know their sins, and then want to know Christ. Help us to see that rightly. Help us to bring it rightly. Help us to believe it rightly ourselves, both in believing it and practicing it, and have the fruits thereof, as we have read here. We pray also, Father, for the temporal needs that are there in nature. We think of the different calamities that are there, fire and wind, drought, heat, all these calamities. We pray for nature's blessing, if it could be Thy will. We know that Thou canst give both blessing and cursing through nature, and we pray that because of Christ, we might yet have the blessing that we do not deserve, but because of Him we can have it, not only in the outward ways of nature, but in the body as well. We pray for the sick, the injured. We pray for the homeless, the hungry, the war-torn lands, the persecuted, the many different calamities that are there, the broken homes, the children in them. We pray, Father, that again we might return to Thee and seek first Thy kingdom and Thy righteousness with the promise that all these things will be added. Through Christ we give thanks. Amen. As we continue in God's Word, as we have it here, a new chapter, but the same letter to the church at Rome. Paul beginning that seventh chapter with the words, Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth, We see in the fourth verse, "Wherefore, my brethren, ye are also become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God." And then in between that first and fourth verse, we have the example of the woman. The woman who has a husband is bound by the law of her husband as long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then if, while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another. We have this very plain teaching. We have almost the same words when Paul wrote a letter to the Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, 39, the wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. But if her husband be dead, she has liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. So we have that teaching twice. Some call it an illustration, and though it can be said that, especially in the 7th chapter of Romans, in the 7th chapter of 1 Corinthians, we need to see it as a teaching that Paul gave as concerning marriage and wives leaving husbands, what they were to do all through that whole chapter. But here, given as an illustration of a likeness, how we are better to understand in the first verse, "Know ye not, brethren, that I speak to them that know the law, how the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth." As long as he liveth. There's different kinds of living. We read here in the 9th verse of this 7th chapter, "Sin revived and I died." Paul, the Jew, Benjaminite, Pharisee, died. He speaks of it in the past tense. Paul was living as he wrote this here, but he's speaking of the old nature. He's speaking of that which is bound by the law as long as we are under the law and still think we have a righteousness by the law and have not yet come to the righteousness of God which is in Christ. As we read in the 10th chapter, "Christ, the end of the law for righteousness to every one that believeth." Believeth. Oh, how much is involved in believing. Believing in God. The Lord Jesus said just before he died, "This is eternal life, that they know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." We must know him by believing. Yes, we can see his ways in nature, and we are told that God shows himself in the face of Jesus Christ, but there are many other ways in which we can know of him, in his holiness, in his sovereignty, in his wrath, in his love, in his wisdom, in his power, and many attributes that we think of that God is showing himself and is to be known. So we must know him, and then we see his holy law, as Paul did here, in its holiness. He said, before he knew the law, he had no sin. He says, "What shall we say then? The law is sin, God forbid." Verse 7, "I had not known sin, but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet." Paul was married to the law in self-righteousness. As he wrote to another church, he said, "If anyone have anything to boast in the flesh, I more." That was the way of most of the Jewish people. They thought they were children of Abraham. They thought of Abraham as a good man and they as good people. That was the general thinking, and still is much of it in Judaism. Sadly to say, we have much the same as Judaism in the church, thinking we're born Christians, thinking we grow up Christians. I've heard people say, "I've always loved the Lord." When the scripture says, "There is none that doeth good, no, not one." And if we go a little further to the next chapter in this letter to the church at Rome, we read in the 7th verse, the 8th chapter, "Because the carnal mind is enmity against God." Not love, but enmity. And then we're still under the law, but not realizing it in its true relationship. Its true relationship is, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And if we don't learn that in time, like Paul did, and could say, I died to any hope in self, then we will learn on the day of judgment, and we will die for our sin, in our sin, not having what Paul says here, verse 4 again, wherefore, my brethren, we are become dead to the law by the body of Christ. Dead to the law. Die to all hope in self. No hope in the law. No longer married to the law. Rather, as the middle part of that fourth verse states, married to another. But just for a moment, going back to the illustration, for the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from that law. So then, if, while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law. So she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. There's the truth stated there very plainly. Christ said it a number of times when he was here on earth. He that marrieth her that is divorced causes her to commit adultery. He said it twice as recorded in Matthew. Once, as we see it in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10. Once again, as we read it in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 16. Very plainly. Plain teaching. And here, Paul brings the same message. But, for the most part, it's not believed. I've read this past week excuses why we don't have to believe this. One said, well, Paul didn't think about the sexual thing that would free the woman if a man was guilty. The Bible says, except for fornication, which in its first meaning in the dictionary is sexual sin amongst the unmarried. Many want to say, well, it's also adultery, and that may be true. But it's generally thought of as the sexual sin of the unmarried. And as Christ said, except for fornication, I believe he meant the way Joseph understood that relationship with Mary, he was going to put her away. And if she had been guilty of sexual sins, rather than the Lord Jesus being born by the Holy Ghost, then she would have been guilty, and he could have put her away for fornication. And I believe that is the way it is to be understood. And that isn't brought out at all, no exceptions in the Gospel of Mark or Matthew, and there's no exceptions here either. And when people say, well, Paul didn't think about the sexual sin, what about the people at Rome that would read this? What about the people at Corinth that would read what he said there? Was he misleading them? Absolutely not. We can take this scripture as it's stated, and we better. And it's time we stop our lightness and lies, because there's a lightness in the church concerning the woman not only leaving the husband, being divorced, but remarrying. It's just getting to be a common thing, and we're getting, sadly, hardened in it. I was going to say used to it, but we're hardened in it, and the only ones that aren't getting used to it is the children in the broken homes. We hear much about mental problems. We hear about suicide. And it's time we wake up in the church to believe the word of the living God and his Son, Jesus Christ. And Paul was here a witness of Christ. And we must take his words as they are stated, not add to them or take away from them. We have the warning in the book of Revelation that if we take away, our name will be taken away out of the Lamb's book of life. And what a terrible thing it's going to be on the day of judgment. For the pastor, for the people in the church, for those in the broken homes, when they face each other on that day of judgment, face a holy God, when we have been in lightness and lies. I say these things plainly. There's many that would contradict it. I read a paper this past week of the majority, how they believe, and the minority, how they believe. when I gave it back to the one that gave it to me, I said that paper was very convincing. But it was convincing that the majority was wrong, not right. And the majority thinks it's all right for divorce, remarriage, and it has changed even in my lifetime. I can remember when it was different than what we think today. And so when Paul gives this illustration, it's also a teaching that we must know is true. The woman which hath an husband is bound by the law of her husband as long as he liveth. One of the reformers, I mentioned that before, stated that, well, if the husband is guilty of adultery, then in the Old Testament, he would have been killed, so we can reckon him dead. That isn't what it says. It doesn't say the woman which hath the husband is bound by the law of her husband as long as he doesn't sin. It doesn't say she's bound by the law of her husband until he commits adultery or other sexual sin. Or the other way, they even add to it, desertion. Paul deals with that in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, the woman leaving the husband, and she is supposed to either stay single or go back to her husband. And one of the things that we ought to think more of in that 7th chapter, in the heart of it, in the middle of it, I believe the 16th verse, what knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife? What knowest thou, O wife, whether thou wilt save thy husband? Oh, if we only wanted to do that, if we did things that would save each other from hell, save each other from the wrath of God, save each other so we would bring forth fruit unto God instead of to Satan and his lies. And when I was a child, I used to hear the stating, as goes the home, so goes the nation. Our nation is following the rioting that has been there in the home, now more prevalent throughout the nation, especially the church. The home and the church are both guilty of what's taking place in such terrible, outlandish ways throughout our country, and how we need not only to pray, and not just to say carelessly, well, God's on the throne. It's true, he's on the throne. It is a throne of grace, help in time of need, mercy. But it's also a throne of justice, throne of wrath. The people in Jeremiah's time found that out when they said the temple of the Lord is this, the temple of the Lord is that. Jeremiah was told to say that's no longer that, and it was burnt. The city was destroyed terribly. Daniel could say later, no destruction as in Jerusalem, the awfulness of it, and it can come here in our country as well. And we need to learn these things here, as Paul learned them, beginning with, know ye not, brethren. Brethren. Were they always brethren? There were both Jews and Gentiles in the church at Rome. Paul addresses the Jews quite plainly in the second chapter, but it's basically a letter to the Roman church, a Gentile church. But brethren, are you one of the brethren? Have you died with Christ, as we saw in the 6th chapter? Know ye not, as many as us who were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? That's our first experience when we come to know the Word of God. Baptized into his death. Like Paul said there, Father, in that chapter, and I died. Died. No hope but the law. No hope as a Jew. No hope as a Pharisee. No more. None. Dead to it. Dead before God. Dead in sin, as Paul said to the Ephesians. You who were dead in sin. Yes, that's where we are. And God must quicken us with his word and by his spirit. We must be born again to see the kingdom of God and to see ourselves outside of it. Not brethren, but as Christ said to those in John chapter 8, you are of your father the devil. As John the Baptist said to those before him, we read it twice, both to the multitude, and we read also of the scribes and Pharisees, two groups. They were vipers, vipers, and some of them became brethren. They heard the word, repented, and were baptized. And that's what we have to have today, to become brethren. When Peter wrote to the strangers that were scattered throughout Pontus, Cappadocia, Galatia, Asia, Bithynia, he said in the second chapter of that first epistle, which were in time past not a people, but now are the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. That comes, as it did on the day of Pentecost, when Peter said, you with wicked hands have crucified Jesus of Nazareth. He went on to say that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified both Lord and Christ. And when they heard that, they were pricked in the heart. Later we read, they asked Peter, what must we do? And he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is to you and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Have you been called by God to repent, like Peter was there, and said, all of those, the message is there, for you and for your children? And some want to separate, make it a different message for the children, without repentance. But the message is the same. The promise is to you and your children. If you repent and are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, not baptism, as some want to teach, but in the name of Jesus Christ, trusting in him, looking to him, being married to him. And where do we get married? When he's on the cross. That's where we come together. That's what we need. He died there, and Christ said, except you eat of my body, the broken body on the cross, the bleeding body on the cross. Except you eat of my body and drink of my blood, you have no life in you. Yes, first we have a false life, and then we die and have no life, no hope, and then new life in Christ. Have you found it? Has God found you? Has he called you with a double call? The call of the outward word and the call of the Spirit. And we must know both. The call of the word, many refuse. And the Lord Jesus said, he that believeth not shall be damned. But the call of the Spirit, whom he predestined, he called. And whom he called, he justified. And whom he justified, he glorified. There's the golden chain of God's plan before the world was formed and carried out in time. Has it been carried out in you? Have you had what Paul says here and become one of the brethren in the body of Christ? Wherefore, my brethren, he says it twice, the first verse and the fourth verse, you are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who hath raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. Have you learned in repentance that you were married to the law? You didn't keep it, but you thought you did. False, proud, deceitful. And God says, every mouth to be stopped, and the world become guilty before God. And then those wonderful words, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of Jesus Christ unto all them that believe. Yes, that's the truth that sets us free.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise the Lord.